It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Good to be back with you. And just another day here in paradise, and paradise is beautiful. If you can't see the poly right now, but if I were to say to you, it's still beautiful, and can see just a little bit above School Street, but makes for a spectacular view. And in about 20 minutes, as that cloud rolled through, we'll be able to see the poly. Wish you were here, but you're not, so you can stay tuned and we'll talk. And I've got quite a few things to share with you and talk to you about. And if you'd like to call in and have comment, feel free. Just so much to talk about, and some of it, it's probably repetitive in nature, but there's new additions or new developments. And so I want to share with you the Hawaiian homelands issue, which is something that's really dear to me. You can have a culture, but if the culture has no foundation and it's being robbed and stripped of its place on this island, then there's a problem. Where do they live, and where do they practice their culture, and what do we do to help sustain that? What I mean by we, the newcomers and the people that are living here. I consider myself now a Hawaiian in the sense that I've moved here and been here now for 20 plus years, or 23 actually. And I'm disheartened as to what I see daily, the eroding and the constant tug of war for what little resources are left. And that tug of war is not amongst the people, but amongst the politicians. And many of things we're going to talk about, and also we'll carry it over in the next hour. You know, the same-sex marriage issues. And but what if I were to share with you that there's Governor Neil Abercrombie, who we voted for, and in a democratic process, we'll submit that. But I think, for me, democracy is the equivalent of, or similar to that of, a car traveling up a mountain on a two-lane road. It's a delicate balance. If you swing too far to the left, you might cause problems. You swing too far to the right. So democracy is something you got to keep your hands on the wheel, and every now and then throw a signal or do something, or you have to be involved, I should say. You can't just be man in the wheel and adrift or aloof. So here's what's happening. You saw this recent, just yesterday, the Oahu County Council, or the committee, the Democratic Party, held their meeting, and the issues of Mike Gabbard and Ms. Sharon Haar, state representative, and Senator Mike Gabbard, and the issues of how the complaints were dismissed or unfounded and what have you. That makes for a good story, really does, if you were to living in La La Land. But the reality is, what you don't see, and I have cause, and I would encourage or invite Mr. Governor Abercrombie to challenge me, but I will say this. I know factually that the governor intervened personally and contacted people, and even the people that worked for him. There was an effort, a concerted effort, to influence the parties that had file these complaints. If they were believers in the democratic process, the complaint was filed. If you object to that and think that there was something wrong with that process, then something's wrong with the entire Democratic Party. or the Republican Party. But who amongst them in that process would have accepted, well, let's go back. Who would have filed the complaint without first knowing that it was an important, that it was a violation, and put it to the litmus test, so to speak? Does the system allow for just anybody willy-nilly can file any kind of complaint, frivolous? Is that the way it is? So what's happening is that you have a front row seat here, actually, to see the shortcomings. And I'm going to share with you later on throughout this conversation is that in Hawaiian homelands, I know personally and have seen directly that within that agency, Mr. Abercrombie's appointed officials would, quote, swing deals with you if the media wasn't watching. If the commissioners didn't talk to the media, the governor could work out a deal with you, give you a special favor. But because the media, meaning Rob Perez, myself, and covering the stories on DHHL and talking about them, and asking for records, they're worried and openly admitting that they would swing a deal, and using the terms such as we're under the microscope right now. So imagine what you see when it hit the news, or if they have the opportunity to convey to you what happened in this Abercrombie administration. It's as if a complaint in the matter of the same-sex marriage, as if it took its natural course. There was no meddling. There was no arm twisting. There was no threatening. You don't see that. But the reality is, and trust me, I stand tall and firm to say to you, if you don't believe me, then I would submit that, call me out on it. What you see here is a display, an erosion of a democratic process, because if the complaints were filed, let's say the parties that filed the complaints just had it the tail end wrong, just had it wrong, just completely. But when they submitted the complaint, it had to be accepted and processed. So is it that the parties involved in the acceptance and the receiving of the complaint, were they drunk and in a stupor, or were they just completely ignorant of the rules and the policy, or didn't compare it, or they just took it because it was a thing to take, just something to do? Well, they took it. It was going through, taking its course. Why didn't they allow it to follow its course? But in this democratic process, I'm in watching this, I think back of the number of things, and I want to remind you, if it's of importance to you or some concern that you like, remember this. Mr. Abercrombie, the governor, came in. He lifted, suspended all of the environmental rules, zoning rules and all. And he did that by arm twisting and recruiting various people. One of the greatest, quote, activists in the state, well known, was Mr. William Ila. He incorporated him in his team. And immediately suspending these rules and then having him at the helm of DLNR, which was historic preservation, boating, parks, all of that comes under. But you really didn't need to spend taxpayers' money if you had suspended the laws, and meaning there were no oversight, no nothing. What were you going to gauge the activities of the builders and the construction companies and all of that, the developers, if you suspended environmental laws? You didn't really need to spend the taxpayers' money, because there was no need to enforce, because the laws didn't exist through executive order or proclamation. Then we had this debacle on the voting. Now, he's even done a full term. And yet we had that problem. And look how it was handled. You notice he came out and talked about it, but really didn't get the what I expected of a governor. And it's not, the world don't revolve around what I expect. But in a democracy, openness. And we see how that played out, and it fizzled and went away. Then we have the PLDC. Now, this is under, these are major, major acts on the part of this governor. Not simple. Then the PLDC. Then we see the proposal or the introduction just overnight. Kaka'ako is going to go up in condominiums. Is this a man who ascribe, who believe in the democratic process? Or is this a man that who starts off as city council as a school teacher and learn the ropes and learn the weaknesses of this community, and that our trust is our weakness? We trust you, and you in turn turn around and become so sharp and catty about your ways that you can come back and inflict injury, I should say. And then you go out and you submit and you want the big wind project, the big wave project, all of that. And now we're back at the civil rights and the holding the special session. And I've been following this to see all of the excuses. Well, for you activists, if you don't shut up and if you ask any questions, well, you might run away the other Democrats who are on the fence, and they'll be uneasy. And we have to be careful with Mike Gabbard, because it could be seen that we're attacking him. So in other words, this thing called the Democratic Party, and I call it a thing because we don't really know what it looks like. We really don't, because there's so many people involved. And the Democratic Party is made up of people, as I've seen it now come to accept it, is that when a person like Neil Abercrombie wins the election, he doesn't move to adhere to what the promises he made to the people or the representations he made. The first act is insulation. Circle yourselves, encircle yourselves and surround yourself with people that are loyal to you. Not just because they say, hey, I like you, Neil, you're a good man, I believe in everything you say. You give them a job. And then you have strings attached. And you and I as citizens, we're not going to support the employee who stands up to Neil Abercrombie. We're going to look at the evening news, and we're going to say, well, that's just politics. When in fact, this problem is a major problem. I looked this morning at the paper. They're talking about the gentleman with the big win who was on PUC. Who appointed him? It's not illegal, but how about the ethics? I mean, can we just put one and one together and say, well, if you voted in favor, or that would favor the developer or the person that is going to build this castle and cook, why would you? It's not illegal. 1 year he stayed away from the business, but now he's representing them. That's just a few. The HCDA. Then we see that poor IU who was shifty. So everything with Mr. Neil Abercrombie as governor has major, major concerns. Major. And you really should step back and understand. I'm not saying who you vote for, but I look at this process that we've witnessed now with the Gabbard and the Haar, and the dismissal and the retraction and the recalling of the complaints. It wasn't done from a natural process. It wasn't done from a natural order. I talked to a gentleman last night on the Big Island, and I called him as Danny Robinson. And I had heard that he was approached and was called by the governor to talk specifically about his job. He's a greeter. These are the allegations and the information that I received in my calling Friday and Saturday. I stopped calling around 10:30, conversations with several people. They all speak about the same thing. And Mr. Robinson, though, tells me, I presented to him that I had been informed by several sources, some that were at the meeting yesterday, that the information was that the governor himself, Governor Neil Abercrombie, had contacted Mr. Robinson and discussed with him the need to drop his case against Mr. Tsuji, Cliff Tsuji, on the Big Island. Well, Mr. Robinson emphatically denied. He said, no, yes, the governor called me, but I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to discuss what we talked about. The governor did call me, but he didn't have an influence over me withdrawing my complaint. Now, I have to believe him, but I submit this. Isn't it funny that if you have a complaint process within the Democratic Party, isn't it strange that the governor would have cause to call this person? And it just so happened that the complaint against Tsuji was recalled. Now, I'm not doubting Mr. Robinson. I accept what he say. I have no issues with him. But it is kind of strange that the governor's footprints were at the doorstep of this gentleman who we know and had filed a complaint. So why wouldn't the governor just trust the process, the caucusing, the meeting there at the Oahu County Count Committee? Why? So that suggests that there's something suspect about the other complaints. And I, as I say, I will tell you right here, right now, that I have the evidence to say that specifically the governor did intervene, and also his lower cabinet people and appointees intervened. Yet, you pick up the paper today, it was as if some innocuous wind blew, and it came and blew, the winds of truth came, and the complainants saw the light, and recall, and they're all kumbaya now. When in fact, what you see here is a process that is so flawed and so conspiratorial. And if you believe everything you read in the paper, that this is the way it worked out, and we pull out our Bibles and whatever it is you believe in, and we all agreed to let the force be with us and let the force work it out. The only force that we can speak of is the force that the governor used to influence these complaints, the recall or the removal. So, is it a democracy? And then I step back and I look and I go, well, isn't it interesting that we see the developments with, we hear the Tea Party. Everyone talks about the Tea Party and the contentious approach that they're employing, and they don't, they're trying to attack some of the rhinos and here in the Democratic part of the dinos, or, you know. And but we're told by the Democrats, you see, there's such discord within the Democratic Party, within the Republican Party. And look, the Tea Party came along and they're kicking out the old guys. I submit this. Let's call this the Coffee Party, the Democratic Party, because what is happening, you have no justice, you have no democracy. You have a system that is so flawed and so badly broken that nothing rises to the occasion. When you see the end of the year, they're voting. Only God and other magical people know exactly what went on, because within that party, so-called the Democratic Party, they're displaying behaviors that is consistent with the most evil elements on this planet. To lie to people, to take free people and dupe them into thinking that you are their representatives. And I submit to you now, all of you so-called Democrats, and I'm a registered Democrat, but when you're sick, man. When you're defrauding the public, you are simply a person with bad intentions. When you take democracy and you play with it because of a job, because of a friendship, because of your aspirations to become the senator or the county ag leader or something, you need to abandon that, because we can't tell you from the very people we talk about or hear you talking about the Tea Parties. There's an element within the Democratic Party that they're looking for their own independent benefits. And I read an article where they were attacking Michael Galoyu, about filing the complaint and what have you. Who ever heard of such a thing? The complaint, the attack should have been on the democratic process that supposedly exists. You file a complaint. It's none of your business. You weren't involved in it. Yes, you are the governor. Yes, you are whoever you think you are. But that's why they have that process. You submit the information. If it passes the smell test, then nobody's guilty. But let it play itself out. But only criminals, thugs, and conspirators sit around and try to run ahead of the natural process that we've all agreed that if you have a problem, if someone in this instance is not consistently voting or carrying the party line or doing something contrary, arbitrary to that, this is the process that we have to address that in a civilly. But why was it all the public display and public discord about this? Let it play itself out. So if you want to know how accurate I am, just ask yourself. Remember, if we witness this behavior in a situation where a policeman charged someone for being guilty of a certain act, there's a process. The party is arrested or charged, indicted. It goes through the process. You get to challenge it. And if you want jury trial or whatever, now I know it's flawed, and I know there are some things called kangaroo courts, but unless you can show that, so why wouldn't they step back and allow these complaints to take their natural course? The reason is that shameful. What I would say to you is that, isn't it funny that the governor, quote, godfather of the president, Barack Obama, like son, like father, in this case, it doesn't exist, because, funny, President Barack Obama advocates same-sex for same-sex and DOMA and all of that, and help pass it and get it going. And here we are. But his godfather can't call a special session. See, that's why I always say, when people say, yeah, I'm in good with him, he's a good boy, he was nice when he was growing up and all. But again, the inconsistencies. The main leader or representative of the Democratic Party has spoken. The Supreme Court has spoken. But godfather Neil Abercrombie can't make up his mind to go and have a special session. Now, I know the Boylans and all of those people write stories, and they don't talk like I do, and they don't write like I do. But I'm just telling you that I bothered and taxed myself with going looking for the answers. not what one has been telling us, because something was just not natural about this process. Something was wrong. I saw too many people with worried eyes. They were troubled when I speak to them and ask them, what's going on with this? Oh, there's some arm twisting going on. How do you know that? Well, I was at this meeting and this is what transpired. Well, what about the complainants? Well, I've heard from them and I've heard from that, and it just doesn't look right. So I took a greater interest. And I'm here to tell you that if this is democracy, I don't want to see what can really happen, because there is no real control. The democratic process is simply flawed with this group of people. And the Republican Party has its Tea Party, and obviously they saw a reason and were motivated to change things. But my question is, when are we going to see a rebellion within the Democratic Party? There's time for one. All that I see in the Democratic Party now, and I'm a Democrat, but as I say, I'm convinced that after the voting, after seeing this gentleman, Neil Abercrombie, in the office of governor, and seeing his values, or the devaluing of the natural environment and all of those things, I'm inclined now to just go independent or something. I won't tell you that I'm not going to vote. That would be just dumb. But the Democratic Party, you need to reassess your trust in them. Because if Neil Abercrombie, twisting arms and threatening people and sending messages to his sentries to go out and communicate to others that you better toe the line or else, he's not inoculated. He's not immune from being voted out. Don't vote for him next year or when he runs again. He's not above that. I mean, it's possible. Don't get too comfortable. But it's going to take you, the voter, to look beyond and ask that basic question. Why were they so uneasy? Why didn't they just let the process take its course? That would have been the natural thing, and there would have been no one looking strangely at anyone. This is due process. I'm afforded this opportunity. I can file the complaint. The people that received the complaint took it and said that basically the prima facie evidence was there. It met the smell test, so to speak. The evidence was sufficient. Now, didn't mean it was guilt or innocent to be proved, but it met the basic principles, satisfied those things, and then it was entered into the system. But you had all of this chatter along the way, as if it was someone standing at the finish line cheering for the leader, when in fact this was someone standing at the finish line and along the raceway influencing and threatening and cajoling people, badgering them into doing something that they were exercising their natural rights or their legal rights. So we go back and we look at, just to show you what is going on, and I mentioned all of this. It sounds like scattergory, but this is all relevant because it comes from under one roof. And I want to share with you a basic letter that's consistent with... there was a meeting of the Hawaiian Affairs Caucus of the Democratic Party. And their guest speaker was, this is, a listener wrote this to me. Their guest speaker was Joby Masagatani, okay? This is at the Hawaiian Affairs Caucus, Democratic Party of Hawaii. The Hawaiians are in some serious trouble, the writer says. Before she spoke, the chair, Joe Kuhio L. Lewis, I guess, with the help of Pohai Ryan, passed out slips of paper to everyone who wanted to ask questions. My question was, quote, what are your plans as chair of Hawaiian Homes for the 50% Hawaiians that are homeless? Her answer was, our strength as an agency is to help them get a lease when they are ready. I responded that they are too old. They are old, lost their jobs, poor. I also asked, why couldn't we put them on the ag lands in Waianae where the land cannot be farmed anymore? She said the agency, Joby said, the agency could get sued. So let me tell you that I know factually, firsthand, that Darryl Young conveys to many Native Hawaiians that they don't want to consider the Native Hawaiian aspect or element and issuing leases, because it would trigger the Freddie Rice, the Kamehameha. It will encourage others to come and attack and dismantle the Hawaiian homeland's purpose, when in fact it's congressional act that authorizes this. It would take more than Mr. Freddie Rice and Freddie Prince and the Prince of Bel-Air or whoever to come in and do this. This is a very interesting thing when, in fact, the governor, and I have a letter I'll share with you, a complaint that I file against Mr. Ward K. Young, the land manager for the Hawaiian Homes. But isn't it funny that Joby Masagatani, the director, and this is what's being conveyed to me by this listener, she also said, for the Hawaiians in Hawaii not to go to Washington with our problems. People in Washington will look at us as if we don't have our thing together and that Hawaiians are fighting each other. The writer reports, I took it as she is hiding something. She said, keep our problems in-house in Hawaii, like we keep our problems in our homes. In Hawaii, if there is a problem in our homes that are endangering our families, we call the police, CPS. We need to go to Washington and let them know that our own people are suppressing us. And I may like to add, our own people and Mr. Abercrombie and Mr. Gabbard and Ms. Jo Jordan and Miley Shimabukuro, the whole bunch of them are robbing the people on both sides of the aisle. The Republican Party, who is lethargic, does nothing, cares nothing, and probably some of them think we still have tails, but we'll get past that. The problem is, this is not just corruption, it's going beyond that. It's a situation now. Anyway, it's a situation where we have a difficult time trying to sort through what it is that our government elected officials and the representatives and the appointees are doing to carry the line or do what's right by the people. So let's go on here. And she spent a good 20 minutes talking about Colleen Hanabusa and how concerned Hanabusa is about Hawaiian Homes. And the writer says, if Colleen would have done something about the problems in Hawaiian Homes years ago. I was surprised to see Joe Jordan there. I told her, Joe, why didn't you back me up in the Hawaiian Homeless? And her response was that they could go to the shelters. It's a situation where Joby Masagatani is telling people, Hawaiians, don't take your issues to Washington. Let us cut your throat here and bleed you out and rob you. Because if you go to the feds, you might get some relief. Darryl Young is telling the public, or Hawaiians, we don't want to do this. And we're, in fact, Darryl Young who, as we know him, formerly employee of Nestor Garcia, you know, the place of the pillar of the community. I've never done anything wrong, and Nestor Garcia, and I don't take handouts. But Daryl takes it upon himself to tell people, Hawaiians mainly, that the governors now, they're going to revisit this whole process. They're first going to go to the counties, and they're going to look at the 50% Hawaiians and see what they can do about that. But they're going to be careful about it because, again, it could trigger the Freddie Rice. So if the governor is, and his staff is timid and reluctant to talk about the H word, then how would the conversation ever play out? How will the Native Hawaiian be afforded a fair opportunity? How will the lines be shortened, the waiting lines for leases? How many will be able to live and finally get a lease? How can they wait, those that are ill, those that are sick, those that are just a day from being on the streets? How can they, when you have an administration, knowingly? But then on the other hand, you don't see a problem with the trade-off on land from Kaka'ako. All that is done that quick. But getting a piece of land so that the Native Hawaiians can at least put their head on a pillow seems to be a monumental task. And you have to ask yourself, who is Neil Abercrombie serving? Is it the people of Hawaii? Is it the Hawaiian people, who he claimed so openly that he's in love with? Or is it the big developers, the big wind companies? Who is he loyal to? Well, when you appoint Daryl Young and you have him telling citizens, we could swing a good deal with you. We could, but the tools that we have are gone. With these articles that are appearing in the Hawaiian, in the newspaper now, we have to be careful. In the old days, we could swing a deal with you. But yet, when it comes to doing what's right by the people, it escapes them. The people, I mean, the Native Hawaiian. So why did Neil Abercrombie put Joby in and then insert Daryl Young? Well, Daryl Young has learned from good people, people that are successful in ripping off the people. And in fact, I believe that a lot of the activities that occurred within the Nestor Garcia was Nestor received coaching on how to be evasive and avoid detection, that he would be caught accepting monies from a private entity in conflict of his job and his duties. So let's talk about this Department of Hawaiian Homelands and how it relates to the governor. So we know now that they're willing to do anything you can do as long as the media don't catch you, or as long as you're not under the microscope any longer. You see. So when I learn of this, and just know that I know firsthand that it happened. So, and if Mr. Young is out there and if he wants to challenge that, I would be happy to convey to him in its full context. So, Ward Young, I wrote a complaint to the governor, and I want you to hear something. Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question?
Yeah, thank you. I'll be very quick.
Turn your radio down. You got a
done. Very quickly, demagogue, supposedly for the common good of man, purpose to appeal to emotions. have their own personal priorities, and they break the rules in order to succeed. Thank you very much, Mr. Cox.
Thank you. And
anyway, the we take this. I want to share with you a letter. This is from Ward Young to. You heard me talk about it last week. It was to Road and Highway Builders. That's a company that builds roads and highways. And listen to this statement now. And I filed this complaint. And this is just the precursor to what I'm going to be bringing out and exposing that is occurring on Hawaiian homelands. I've done quite a bit of it already, but this falls under the land branch manager. All of these things under his watchful eye. So if you have Darrell Young, the deputy, telling Hawaiians, we have to be careful and not give consideration to Hawaiians because we might get sued like Kamehameha Schools. We don't want to do that. And we're going to go and we're going to set up a 30-day period of... you're going to get 30 days of right of entry now. This is what they're going to do. So if you're a Hawaiian or you, supposedly if you're a business person and you have a RP, revocable permit, not a lease, but they're basically one and the same. If you're on the land, you're on the land. So if they're going to take that away, you're going to have 30 days to correct your problems. You're going to get a right of entry. The only reason they're doing that is because the governor and Joby, according to Mr. Young, is that the media has DHHL under a microscope. So what if we had a microscope on the same-sex marriage issue? Would you think that the governor would do the right thing? I think he would. So they're going to go and have this deal now. You get 30 days right of entry, and you must come clean and correct everything. But the other companies, you take, for example, Pasha. And so this letter is written to Road and Highway Builders, and Pasha is another company. It has a main lease. So Aloha, Rick. And it's regarding stockpiling on DHHL land in Kalailoa. Thanks for speaking with me. As the email thread below indicates, you and Pasha have been going through the process of making sure your operation is done properly. How does he know that? Sounds, and he goes on, I'm just making sure that DHHL Trust is not exposed to any, quote, stockpiling and or environmental violations. I learned that a huge amount of material, approximately 20,000 yards, was imported to the site within the past 3 to 4 weeks. And this material, this, quote, 20,000 yards, is asphalt, cured asphalt. I'm glad to hear that Road and Highway Builders has gone through the process of getting a permit to store and process the material you're storing. But we're told the type of material work did not need a stockpiling and recycling. I look forward to seeing your paperwork that confirmed this. I confirm with Ms. Su Liu that at the Department of Health that the material described to her by RHB did not fall on the DOH. Also, and listen to this now. Also, it was comforting to hear from you that the city DPP already visited your site at Campbell and said there was no need for permits. I'm also comforted to hear that you amended Pasha's NPDS permit to include your material. I look forward to seeing your documents and will continue to do my due diligence to ensure DHHL is following all government laws. I submit to you that is the biggest farce, the biggest lie, because, you see, I contacted, and part of my complaint, I contacted the Department of Health, whom he referred to, the Clean Water Branch, and I asked them to look in the database to determine if Pasha actually had a NPDES permit. That's a National Pollution Elimination Discharge Systems permit, which controls or regulate the discharge of wastewater or runoff or those kinds of things, protecting their environment, which he spoke of. Well, PASHA, according to the State Health Department, does not have the NPDES permit. So then, where did Mr. Young find out that PASHA had a permit? If he would claim to have done his due diligence, he would have learned right up front that they do not have a permit. And then why would he tell that second lie to say, to fabricate, that, oh, and by the way, we're happy, I'm comforted to know that they are mending their permit, which does not exist, to accommodate you. This is all in writing. So what that tells me is that if he's able to write such a comment and behave in such a fashion and put it in writing, there's no oversight. They're not interested in protecting the Native Hawaiian people and their interests. They're protecting their friends. PASHA is bigger than Native Hawaiians to this administration. PASHA is bigger than Native Hawaiians to the legislators, to the Senate, to the House. And when it comes to Hawaiian homelands, we'll talk about close construction. And I talked to you last week but about some of this. If it's repetitive, I understand, and I do apologize, but those of you that want to connect the dots and make a change, tune in the next hour, and we'll be back at carolcox.com. And feel free to call in, and we'll just knock it around some. Take care.
For the second half of the Carol Cox Show, right after the news on KWAI Honolulu.
I'd like to dedicate this song to little Junior Park. A cousin of mine is going on. Yeah.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
Hey, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. 524-1080 is the number if you have comments or want to offer input or insight or objection or whatever you like to do. Feel free to call in. And we're talking about many things, primarily all things pointing back to Governor Neil Abercrombie and the legislators that tend to legislate. As I'm reminded that when the session comes, there's a flurry of bills and all kinds, which is a natural process, and then they whittle them down. But generally, they're predisposed. They know what they want right from the onset. And it's just a ruse, this process. So I like to offer a challenge to any of you Democratic Party members that are internally. Stand up. Call these guys out. If you are truly a Democratic connoisseur, or you enjoy the benefits of being a Democrat and you go to the meetings and you caucus with them and what have you, stand up. You witness all of this. You know what's going on. Don't wait until an issue pops up. Change your behavior. Demand from them. Let the process take its natural course. But I guess we gravitate. I guess politics, it beckons and invites people with intentions to, I guess, clamor over the back. There are some true people within the party that want to do what's right for society, for the nation and all. But what I'm seeing, right now, currently, it's the same-sex marriage debate. But it could be anything. It could be the Voting Rights Act that impact people of color. How do we trust that this democratic process will work for us if, in fact, we know now that there's weevils in the wheat? We know that we have a governor who, and this is a natural course, they've all appointed who will help them get their policies through and protect the door, their backs. But remember, you're expendable. And while you may get close with them, the governor and others, you will find yourself obligated, because once you compromise, you're compromised. They won't respect you, nor will the public. Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question? Hello?
Yes, this is Joanne Adams.
Hi.
I haven't been able to tune in, so I don't know the context. I'll do much better if you can ask me some questions.
I'm sitting here talking now about the same-sex marriage debate in yesterday's meeting with the OCCC and
yes,
what have you, and just basically the resolution that was finally passed, and I was going to get this. So can you share with us and your role, Joanne Adams, this is who we have here calling, but can you just share some insight, because I've been giving mine, and it's lacking. So if you
okay, the GOVT caucus of the party brought a complaint. We found out as we filed the complaint that the caucus could not bring one, so therefore our chair, Michael Galoyu, brought it as an individual. So that was the claim that the complaint that they were processing. He had listed, I think it was 11 individuals. One of them was in Hawaii County, so there was no jurisdiction, and then the other nine were here. The investigation committee felt that two people should be sanctioned, Representative Haar and Senator Gabbard, and not the others.
Mm-hmm.
So prior to the meeting, Michael had withdrawn his complaint against the others. Then Representative Haar asked for her complaint to be postponed so that she could have time to adequately prepare. So the only complaint before the committee yesterday was Senator Gabbard. And this was his second time there's been a complaint against him.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm reading today's paper, a quote from the Star Advertiser, quoting Mike Gabbard, Senator Mike Gabbard. It was clear to me that if I wanted to be effective, if I wanted to get something accomplished for the people who elected me, it would have to be in the majority party.
That's right.
What does that mean to you? Okay. A person that is active.
Not only do I know what it means to me, I know what it means to him. When he came over from the Republican Party to the Democratic Party, he made it clear that he agreed with some parts of the Democratic platform and not with others, that he did not intend to change his stance on any of the issues. The reason he wanted to move is that if he was part of the majority caucus, he would be eligible then to chair committees, and he would be part of the party that's in charge. But the biggest things that happen when you're part of the party in charge is you get the opportunity to chair committees, and you typically get more money for your district.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really, he was very clear that that's what he was seeking.
And not to support or commit to supporting the Democratic plank or platform.
Well, it's a little more nuanced because he said he did agree with much of the labor and he did agree with much of the energy, but certainly not with gay issues.
Mm-hmm. So what was this resolution that was passed last night at the caucus? What is that basically saying? What is the basic language?
The basic line, and I just have to paraphrase because I don't have it in front of me, mm-hmm. but basically it said, we support marriage equality, and we call on the governor to pass it now in special session. So the words now was in there, and special session was in there, and passing marriage equality was in there. The context around it, it may not be accurate, but that was the thought, and those were the key words.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the context of a broader discussion about whether or not we should actually sanction legislators, I think what they wanted to convey is even though we have not sanctioned the legislature, that does not weaken our support and our resolve about passing marriage equality.
Mm-hmm. So it goes to the SEC next, or are you?
No.
What's the process?
No, because it was dismissed at that level, the only person who has appeal rights would be the accused. So Michael would have had no right to appeal. Only mm-hmm. Senator Gabbard would have had the right to appeal, or Representative Farr. And since the group voted to dismiss it against Senator Gabbard, and then Michael offered to withdraw his motion, and the group voted to withdraw his complaint against Tarr, and the group agreed to allow him to withdraw his complaint, nothing will go forward at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Because the complaint against Suji, which was in Hawaii County, has also been withdrawn by Danny Robinson in Hawaii County.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, I don't know if you're able to offer any input, do you think there was any meddling, or what's your sense, that should this have allowed to go through its natural process, that go through the entire review by the board that would hear these complaints? Or what do you think? Was there any meddling in your opinion?
In our mind, the complaint, which was for actions taken in the last legislative session, mm-hmm. were very much separate from the passage of marriage equality, which in our minds was closely related to the judicial decision that was handed down by the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
Because now that DOMA, Section 3 of DOMA has been repealed, civil unions no longer offers equality in this state because there's no federal recognition of our civil unions. So now we feel it is time to move forward and actually modify the marriage law.
Mm-hmm.
So, so that's where we were. In our minds, it was tied to the judicial decision and the actions taken by Haar, Gabbard, and their compatriots to actually try to pass a constitutional amendment limiting marriage to one man and one woman, which is known as a state DOMA, a State Defense of Marriage Act. And our state platform is generally against the idea of anything that does not allow full protection and marriage equality, and the national platform is specific that they oppose state state domas. And so here we have Democrats proposing the very thing that the national platform specifically says it's against, and the state platform more generally says it's against.
Mm-hmm. Now, there is the normal session, the legislative normal process when they come in January, and there's a special session process. Which you think would be, you would be more successful, having a special session, and is it of great importance to have that special session to address this issue, or wait and come in with the other hundreds of bills? Do you think that there would be a distraction later?
Yes, I definitely feel it would be a distraction. In fact, as I have moved through political circles, the people who tend to approach me are advocates for other causes who said, please try and handle this as a special session so that we can get some attention paid to our bills during the regular session.
Mm-hmm.
So we feel that there's a number of reasons to call a special session. First, the Defense of Marriage decision came down after our session. So now we have actual harm being done to people who were married in other jurisdictions whose marriages are not recognized. So as you know, mm-hmm. as harm accumulates, your right to sue for those damages accumulates. So there's that one factor. The second, the University of Hawaii, Sumner LaCroix, Professor LaCroix, released a study talking about the huge positive economic impact if we pass marriage early. So passing it early while the nation is still focused on marriage, I think the cost of a special session will be more than offset by increased tourism and an enhancing of our state as the Aloha State.
Mm-hmm.
And then the thirdly is, again, many people, we know from civil unions that this could potentially be hugely divisive and distracting, and why not do it in a special session where people can focus on this, get it passed, and let people quiet down? Because after all the brouhaha with civil unions, once it was passed out, it was like not even a murmur. So if we can get through the marriage cycle in the same way, get it passed, with lots of, hopefully not fewer, but if there is fewer, it will quiet quickly, and then we can get down to doing the rest of the business of the state.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard through my phone calls over the weekend, people were sharing with me that the difference is that the legislators don't want to have any of this because if we do this, this will happen. If we have a special session, or if we don't withdraw the complaints, if we don't do away with the complaints, it's going to cause a rift within the party.
Right, yes.
Was that going on? Can you speak to that? Because I didn't fully understand what was being conveyed.
I didn't directly hear about it. I only heard about it in meetings where it was discussed. And since those were confidential, I don't think I can really disclose a whole lot.
Right.
But there was a linking of the complaint to the special session, that we cannot hold a special session if these complaints are over our heads, was the feeling, that they
mm-hmm.
didn't feel they could freely discuss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
it's interesting because the complaint was not about freely discussing or voting. It was about taking specific actions against the platform. So,
right.
It wasn't about discussing or even opposing a marriage bill. It was about working in active opposition to pass a bill against the equality that the party stands for.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
But they had linked those two together. And I should be clear, it was the House that was linking it together, not the Senate. I don't want the Senate inappropriately dragged in here. It was
right.
the House that was raising that objection.
And I understand, in passing, Mr. Gabbard, Senator Gabbard, basically threw her under the bus by saying, well, she's the one that actually introduced it and just asked me to, on the side of the Senate, to introduce it. I was just doing her a favor. But that favor seemed to be consistent with his anti-gay, anti-same marriage campaigns that he had been involved in.
Right. I don't think he was opposed to it by any means, but it was good that he clarified his role, that he felt his role was more passive than active,
mm-hmm.
And so it was good to get that clarification. Unfortunately, because they withdrew the complaint against Har, we never heard Har defend her actions, and so we really don't know how she viewed her role in that.
Mm-hmm. So the status is simply still up in the air, and the gay community is waiting anxiously to even know if there is going to be a special session.
Yeah, and I think where we really need help from the community is for them to notify the governor, because the House does not have the two-thirds required to call a special session. The governor would be the one who has the power to call the special. They both have the power, but he's the one in the position to exercise it. So calls, emails, faxes, anything short and sweet. You know, I'm a Hawaii voter, I'm a Hawaii resident, something that hooks you in and gives you why they should pay attention to you, followed by, please pass marriage equality in a special session. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be flowery or well thought out, because they will tally how many they get. So just get in there and get tallied on the right side of the issue.
And that would be to gov@hawaii.gov, spelled out Hawaii, gov@hawaii.gov, correct?
Right, yeah. Right.
But again, thank you. You have any other insight or input that you'd like to share with us?
Well, I think one thing that was interesting is the whole time we were concerned because our chair works for the state, and not only does he work for the state, but he's a political appointee. And I think one of the exciting things for me personally, being part of the baby boomer generation, is the baby boomers are now retiring. And now you're going to have a group that, you know, marched by the thousands in our day when we were students, now being able to march hopefully in the thousands as retirees and be on the reach of worrying about whether or not we lose our jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really looking forward to the potential for huge and dramatic social and governmental change.
I think it's well overdue. But
yeah.
But again, seeing this unfold, it's what's next? I mean, there was HB 444, the people weren't forthright, our politicians were not open and honest, and rather deceitful on the part of many of them, and now we're here with DOMA. We know that's out of the way now. We know the Supreme Court, and yet here in Hawaii, we're stuck on, well, I won't say.
Yeah, we were the first state to say this is legally appropriate, and we are now what, the 12th, 13th, or 14th state to, if we pass the legislation, to pass it. But we should hold with pride the fact that it started here in Hawaii. We now just need to get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate people like you in the press who are bringing to life. They always say, you know, if you like sausage or law, don't see either of them made. And I think by shining your light on what really happens as laws are made, we can have an opportunity to have a fuller discussion and see if we don't want to change that process.
Mm-hmm.
Because certainly, if we had done to the legislators what the legislators had done to the complainants, we would have been accused of bribery.
Right.
So, and we'd be, I hope, someone who knows the law well in extortion could call in and see if something like that is extortion. If you threaten someone's job because they try to seek redress from the government, or because they try to join certain groups, or because they exercise their free speech, is that some form of extortion? I would love to have an attorney come in and talk about whether it rises to that level. It may not, but I think that discussion would be interesting.
Yeah, well, I'm just hopefully watching anybody that file these complaints, that they are not retaliated against. And, and though some of them won't acknowledge or openly tell that they were threatened or what have you, I would submit that we all need to rally around them, because tomorrow it could be a different issue on a matter of facing senior citizens and the taxes, that we need a special session or need a law passed. But if behind the scenes people get in the pockets of the governor or whomever and he then pulls strings, any matter could be submitted to this process wrongfully, I suspect. That's why I'm interested, not just the civil rights aspect, and the harm that it causes for couples that can't get the benefits, but they're married. Other states recognize these things. What if a couple came to Hawaii that was legally married in another state?
Mm-hmm.
Are they protected still, those rights? Does Hawaii respect those rights?
They would be recognized as a civil union. So
mm-hmm.
to the extent that state law applied, they would be recognized, but to the extent that federal law applied, they would not.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you so much. And it's Joanne Adams. She's an attorney. She actually has a law office, and I'll give it out, because if you want to contact her, is it okay to give your phone number? 528-2100. And you specialize in what
type? I do estate planning, wills, okay, and trusts. It's a nice little quiet transactional practice.
Well, that would be, I've talked to a number of people just yesterday through calling and interviewing different people, and I hear over and over that we're a couple, but this is what we're faced with.
Mm-hmm.
And so, thank you.
I think that's mm-hmm. why we fight so fiercely. I mean, we fight fiercely because everyone knows you fight to protect your family.
Yeah.
And that's what you're triggering in the gay community. We're fighting to protect our family.
Well, we hope to fight with you because it's if today you, tomorrow me. That's the way I see it. And when you're being, they're treating it with an underhanded approach, I get quite concerned. But also, you have a show on Olelo, correct?
I do.
And what is that, and when is it aired? And
it premieres on mm-hmm. the first and third Tuesdays on Channel 54 at 8 p.m., and then it is rerun on Saturdays at 3:30. Sundays at 3:30. So you can catch it this afternoon at 3:30 and see last week's episode.
On Channel 54.
Channel 54. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you for calling in, and I appreciate
thank
clarity.
Thank you always for your concern, Carol. We appreciate it very much.
All righty. Aloha.
Aloha.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Hey, Mr. Cox.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. I would just like to mention, we got to keep this simple. I think marriage is just a ceremony mm-hmm. that celebrates the fact that there's people or people that are going to get together and enjoy each other and have a commitment, a relationship, period.
Mm-hmm.
Any and all this other stuff piles on layer after layer after layer mm-hmm. of complication that disrupts the essential simple quality of equality.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to say stop already. If you want to have the ceremony and get married, God, I love you.
Yeah.
Bring as many buddy on the altar as you can and make it happen.
Yeah,
don't this way, that way, and argue it out $400 an hour over thousands of years. Come on.
The price went up, you know.
You know, yeah. So remember, marriage is just another ceremony that celebrates people's commitments to each other. And if there's people that want to commit to each other, that's a godsend. Let them seal.
Yeah. Well, I just hope that we learn that this process, we see the handling of this is really scary because it could be any issue. But so I'm really excited and happy that we are afforded this opportunity to see behind the scenes, you know. And I hope someone bothered to go and write a real article about what really went on and stand guard on those that be threatened, you know, with loss of jobs because they come clean and tell the true story. This was not a democratic process.
Yeah, the law seems like it tries to go out and fix stuff that ain't broke.
Right.
Equality's there. Celebration's there. What more do we need to know?
Well, remember now, the captain that steers this ship is named Neil Abercrombie. The passengers are you and me. He's going to take us to our destination, not to his destination, hopefully.
Sounds like we need to mutiny.
Or something.
Run up the pirate flag and do the boogie.
No. No, them bones. No. No, we just need some sincere democratic procedure and people adhering to let things work their natural course. Too much noise about these complaints when the process was simple. What would it have cost? There's a committee that would have reviewed it and that would, you know, and given their opinions internally, and that would have been it, right?
That's the point. That's just like a union. What will it cost? Well, we'll make it cost as much as we can so we can put up as many walls in the way, because that's law backwards.
Right.
Yeah, so keep it simple, folks, and I hope I get in some supporting calls. Make
Alrighty.
The ceremony, keep the equality, and let us have our freedom ring.
All righty, brother. Thank you.
Hey, all right, Mr. Cox. Glad you're there today.
Aloha. Bye-bye. All righty. Anyway, I know I occasionally talk to many of my friends, and they say, well, you know, but that's the gay community. It's against God and what have you. And it might be if that's where you hang out at, if that's where your line of thinking. But what if it's not against God's principles, as you know God? What if it's not? Are you going to stand around and see people be violated? Because I haven't seen God show up at the state capitol. What I have seen is people acting like God. big difference. So we should pay attention to that. Who are these people that are steering us? Who are these people that are manipulating behind the scene? Who are these people that would invite a Republican? That is like inviting a cancer cell into your body and say, well, I just hang out for a while, and if you see any good cells, just let them be. But on occasion, you can, you know, if you want to have an influence on them, go ahead. We'll offer you safe harbor. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. So this is the problem. I've been doing a great bit of research and gathering documents. And go back and, speaking of the Gabbards, if you access to a computer, go and read India Abroad, July 27th, 2012. And it's in the U.S. News on page A9. Tulsi Gabbard on course to create political history. And I found something, and there's a lot more to it than this, but I found in here, Gabbard's spiritual lineage is the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. She is a disciple of Jagad Guru, and that is the same Guru, Jagad, their leader, that you may recall seeing him on Olelo. Being critical of Christians and what have you. And I actually have video of our Tulsi's mother and Mr. Gabbard sitting there in the front row seat participating in this diatribe about the mockery being made about the Christians and their belief in God and what have you. So I'm wondering, when I heard some of the earlier speeches Mr. Gabbard had presented, it was about religion and what have you. But he's Hindu, not Indian-born Hindu, but American Hindu, born in Samoa, mind you. But anyway, you might find this article interesting. I'll post a link up from carolcox.com. But there's quite a bit, you know. There's still the, for example, I want to know things about the Hawaii, Healthy Hawaii Coalition. That's a nonprofit that still exists, that Tulsi and her dad founded. And I want to know that if they got city contracts or city grants or state grants or federal grants, how do they juggle that? But you might find this article quite interesting. It's Tulsi Gabbard on course to create political. It's not a strike at her. I hope she's successful and what have you. But I hope she didn't join Congress so that she can still keep her views. And then, like her dad, and say that he's still a Republican, but he just wants to join in with the majority party because they really just as crooked as we are, so, and non-caring. And so I admire him for being able to convince the Democratic Party to even buy into that deal, but it tells you a lot, says a lot about the alertness and the awareness and how deep thinkers the Democratic Party is. They're really deep thinkers. So that's why you get such dumb laws and handling of issues, and why we are always paying double for things that cost 50 cents. And here in Hawaii, we're paying $9 for it because our legislators are at the wheel, and they don't really care. As long as they get their hands greased and their palms greased, the Democrats have been in 40-plus years. And we are handling an issue that everybody else, even Pope Francis, has come out not acknowledging or accepting same-sex marriage, but he gave positive words. And yet, Godfather Neil Abercrombie, still hanging loose with the Gabbards and the Chars or the Hars, and running interference. Now, I could see if he felt that he had some masterful plan that was at work and that he didn't want any interference, and that it would be guaranteed to protect the interests of the same-sex couples and get to where the nation, the majority of the people now being surveyed, support same-sex. So why is it that we're stuck on stupid here in Hawaii? But I guess, you know, fresh air every day, sunshine every day, and looking out of the beach, you can become immune to these things. So anyway. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Oh, what's up, Carol Cox?
Well, what's up with you? You got anything good to say about today's topic right quick? I got no time, but go ahead. What do you have?
Oh, I mean, I just haven't talked to you for a long time. I tried to call you after the show, but you don't pick up the phone, that's why.
That's because I'm so busy. But are you listening today?
Yeah, I was.
Okay, well, go back to listen. We might, if you find anything you want to say.
No, I mean, I don't know if, I know, like, you guys are talking about the whole, like, Gabbard thing.
Okay.
I know Gabbard was the state senator, like, I know, isn't Gabbard the state senator?
Yeah.
Do you think, how long do you think he will be the state senator?
Well, we'll ask the people out in Kapolei and those areas.
Kapolei?
Or that area out there.
I'm in Mililani. I know the Mililani High School Trojans beat Moana Loa on Friday, 39-9. They pounded Moana Loa High School.
Yeah. Okay, well, Jacob, I'm going to have to get off of here and move on. But,
okay,
give me a call later. All righty. Thank you. I love you, too. Bye. All righty. Anyway, there's a lot out there going on, but at the end of the day, why is this important to me? I don't know how important it is to you, and I won't assign any degree of importance to it. But when you see a system, we stay as free people, in my opinion, if we have a system that we can trust. We stay civil when we have an issue with our neighbor or another entity or whatever, and we experience hardship or what have you, and we can go and submit this matter to a process that's going to be fair and equitable. It's weighed out the facts. That's how we keep from having to pull guns on one another and going to shooting and crime and violence and resort to, as we see in many other countries or what have you. So if we drift away from that, like that car going up that mountain on that curvy road, something's going to happen. And when we vote for a guy like Neil Abercrombie or the Mufi Hannibals, anyone, that same tell us everything they want and then immediately proceed to steer everything away from us that's right, that's, you know. And that's where we are left with this. I didn't think any one person could do and be so obvious at doing it and be so blatant as Governor Neil Abercrombie. Absolutely. He only speaks when he wants to speak, and when he does, he pounds the table. We've seen in the past, and the things that he say, he pounds the table apparently behind closed doors to tell people this is what he want. If you don't fall in line, then you are out. That seems to be the normal process. You go to DHHL, we go to the Hawaiian Homes issue. I'm still waiting for a response on a UIPA Uniform Information Practices Act. I want to share, this is under the Abercrombie administration. We've had problems with others, but so I make a request for Monsanto, just the inspection records. This is the Neil Abercrombie administration. This is what you get. Russell Kokoban is the head of agriculture department, and as you know, Gary Gill is head of the health department and environmental side. And they both behave in the same way. Now, I made a request to inspect and copy just the inspection reports on that the state agriculture department and the state health department had conducted in past years on Monsanto, Pioneer, and the others. So I get this back. First of all, three letters and back and forth, and I call in and try to clarify. I want to inspect and copy requested information. Now, this is how the Abercrombie administration. For after prepayment of fees and costs of $195, 25% of fees and 100% of costs as estimated, that's what I would have to pay them. just to go in and look at a file so that they can have time to black out certain information, not all the information, and they want me to pay that amount. That's just for one portion of my request. Then they go back and tell me there's also possibly a $780 charge. So this is information that you and I, the public, the general public, should have access to. It's in the files. We're not going in business and competing with these companies. But apparently, this is what they say the total amount is, would be $780, and that's just to go in and see. And then there's an $80 fee that I would have to pay them, or that's what it's costing, for me to go in and look at state records. Again, this is Abercrombie serving and shielding for big business. So they gave me one as an example of what I... Here's a complaint. Just going to read to you, and I'll post it up and share it with you later, that was sent to me by the Agriculture Department regarding the spraying of a chemical. And the person, it was Asana, that the chemical that they claimed was being sprayed. But I'll post it up and show you. This is the basic information that I want. And instead of giving it to me, they're going to give it to me. Some close to $800 estimate that they're saying. Now, what they'll reduce it to, I don't know, but they're saying the total cost. This is just for me to walk in. So if you want to now walk in under the governor's administration, Neil Abercrombie's administration, you walk in and you want to look at records at the Department of Agriculture, you got to pay them bucks before you look at the records, because they got to, quote, redact certain names and phone numbers and what have you. Is that transparency on the part of the government? But welcome to Neil's world. So I also filed one with State Health Department on Monsanto. This matter goes back a couple of years. So been months since I've filed. I'm told that under Gary Gill and through under the Neil Abercrombie administration, they can't give it to me. They had to go to the Attorney General, Deputy Attorney General, and ask the Deputy Attorney General, could they release it? But first they must contact Monsanto and ask permission to release it, or what portion they could release the state's inspection report to me. Well, I'm told by the person at DOH who's handling my request, well, we contacted Monsanto and they said they don't want any of the inspection report released. So now there's this sit and wait. Is the Attorney General going to stand up and say that this is a file reflecting the activities of the government, and so therefore it is public record? Why else would we have enforcement if we, the public, can't go and look at these files? So it's, you know, the labeling thing, we should label in GMOs, and we shouldn't. I believe we should label them as in any food product or anything that has a potential harm or whatever, if the consumer wants to know. But I also believe that if the government is taking actions and monitoring, and I would like to see how effective, how efficient the government is when they say we don't have to worry about things. How do they reach that conclusion if, in fact, they are not inspecting? But what if they are inspecting but not telling us the results of those inspections and disclosing that, because the company that is being inspected or possible violators say, no, I don't want that information released because it's confidential. What is confidential about government accuracy, government enforcement, government transparency? What is confidential about that? So we're seeing a new breed, speaking of using terms, with this occurring with the GMO process. Governor Neil Abercrombie's administration is covering the front door for Monsanto and the other GMO entities. And he's doing it by delaying, stalling, and charging people like myself who would get that information and disseminate it through this process, through the radio show and through the website and what have you. But we can't get that information. So I'll post this sample and this complaint, and it was only to try and get this information so you would be better informed. But apparently the governor does not think that you should. Everything is done behind closed doors. And then again, I can truly say now that everything the governor deals with is about money. Even in my case, we want your money before you can come in and look at any records. You would think that they would store these files in a fashion that if there's confidential information, come up with a process that Social Security numbers and all of that is filled out on another paper, but the public can see the actual complaint. But instead, they're going to rely on the stalling tactics and the interference. And that is just absolutely 100% wrong on the part of the governor. I hold him responsible, accountable, and you should too. So when it comes down to going behind that curtain, you might want to give some serious thought to where we're going, where he's taking us. And, you know, there's been the guy at the helm has run aground many a times, and I wouldn't doubt if economically and everything else, ethically, we're going to be bankrupt, or we already are. So you as taxpayers, get ready. I think there's more tricks to be had. You as a native Hawaiian, if you buy his line, then you'll see a greater growth of homelessness, a greater growth of subleasing. And what I don't understand is that you take in the Pasha's case, as I talked earlier. How is it that Pasha can rent land or lease land from Hawaiian Homeland and then turn around and sublease that land at 7 cents a square foot? Why is it that DHHL leases Pasha land that they need and with the conditions that you cannot sublease it? And therefore, if anybody's interested in subleasing, you refer them to our office and we'll make the money and fill the coffers to protect the Hawaiian interests. And therefore, we thank you for your help. We'll give you a 5% discount if you refer us a good customer, a good client. We'll do the renting ourselves. We don't need a middleman, or we don't need an entity to rent our land for cheap and then turn around and rent it back to others or lease it to others for more. Something's wrong with this picture. It's all occurring under the Neil Abercrombie I Love Hawaiians administration. And now I'm learning. He get to make good friends. There's Close Construction, who I talked about briefly last week or earlier. Plops down. Still no explanation. And by the way, I told you about that Ward letter that I read, where he was saying how comforted he is and knowing that they have brought in this money and this 20,000 cubic yard. The reality is it was 35,000 ton that went to one area and another 15,000 tons that went to another area. And it wasn't just one area, as Mr. Ward Young had said. It was to a number of areas over on Kitty Hawk Road and Midway there in Barbara's Point. So we'll see what the governor decides to do with my complaint, if he even considered it has merits. Or I probably would get a call from one of his sentries to say, that I better back off or he's going to take my citizenship away or something like that. That would be consistent with what I've come to learn about the Abercrombie
administration. You're welcome to be part of our team as long as you're a team player. And here are the rules. You operate outside of those rules. Forget democracy. Who cares about a fair or legal process? You just mind it and do what you're told and make me look good and speak only when you're asked to be spoken to, and that's it. So this, again, like I told you earlier, the situation with the Department of Hawaii and Homeland. So we saw now that it was at the Hawaiian Affairs Caucus, like I told you last week. Watch. Governor Abercrombie is going to come out as a champion for Hawaiian causes, but he's had 3 years to do all of this, and then not to mention his congressional stance of stay. How do we get to this point where people dying, standing in line, waiting? Houses are condemned, boarded up. And I'll post some of those pictures. We posted some earlier in the year, but we'll post some more up to show you that these houses are boarded up. And I know that there's some legal actions, but why don't they expedite those? Why don't they create a process that those that are in legal action try to resolve it? Just having that number of houses just sitting around boarded up doesn't speak well for the governor's administration. Doesn't speak well for Joby Musagatani, who wants to make sure that we keep our own little troubles within our house under our own roof and don't bring in the regulators. And God forbid if you brought in the newspaper. And I still say, knowing that Darrell Young is so worried and the governor is so worried that they could swing special deals if the news media wasn't around. That to me says it all. So anyway, next week we have some other topics, and thank you for listening. And I think we will be moving to the 9 to 11 hour so that we can accommodate Polka, and I'm happy to do that. And I'm looking forward to talking to you guys when you're really awake now rather than early and holding that cup of coffee. But we'll see you next week, and thank you for joining. Aloha.
Thank you for tuning in to the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show, right here at KWA.